This morning, we're going to take a brief look at Acts chapter 12. I'm not going to do a verse by verse, but I felt like we had to read the whole chapter to get a sense of what was going on. I'm entitling the message from this chapter, Acts 12, The Providence of God, Prayer Unto God, and the Power of God to Deliver. So we can shorten it by providence, prayer, and power. That's what we see here. Providence, prayer, and power. Now, every believer is blessed by the good and sovereign purpose and providence of God. I love to think about that and rest upon His word, His promise. He said, all things are working together for your good. To them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Everything God does, He does on purpose. And the one purpose that He works all things by is His glory. Secondly, every believer is also blessed with the privilege of calling upon God in prayer. What a great privilege we have. He said, call upon me and I will hear, I will answer. Our Lord said men ought always to pray. And the apostle writes, pray without ceasing and everything give thanks. That's what these folks did. When they were in trouble, they got serious about praying. He has told us to make our request made known unto Him. He has told us to call upon His name for help. He said, I'm on the throne of grace. He said, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And James said, you have not because you ask not. He's rich unto all that call upon Him. Praying unto the Lord, a privilege God's given unto us. So we're blessed by the sovereign good providence of God. Every believer has this privilege, distinct privilege of calling upon our Father for our help. Also, every believer has been and has experienced deliverance by the power of God. Deliverance by the power of God. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We've experienced God's delivering power. God who saved us and called us according to His purpose and grace given unto us. That's the experience of salvation. Now in this chapter, God gives us valid instruction. In this chapter 12 of Acts, we see the mighty hand of God working out all things to His glory. To His glory. Remember from Romans chapter 11, of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory both now and forever. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgment and His way past finding out. We call that the good and sovereign providence and purpose of God. He says, I've spoken it. I have purposed it. I'll bring it to pass. I will do it. We cannot stop the purpose of God. We see in this chapter, the close of chapter 11, and in this chapter, the mighty working of the hand of the Almighty God. He sent in the land. He sent a famine in the land. The last part of chapter 11, the Lord on purpose, His good and sovereign purpose, sent a famine in the land, a great dearth in the land. The Lord sent persecution among the believers in Jerusalem, as it says in the first few verses in chapter 12. The Apostle Paul is killed, the Apostle James is killed by the hand of Herod. These are trials. Where do they come from? The hand of the Lord. Peter's put in prison, waiting to be executed like his friend James. We see also that Peter is delivered by the mighty hand of the Lord. Herod is also killed by the same angel that delivered Peter. So the Lord will have mercy upon whom He will. All those soldiers that kept Peter in the prison cell, they were also executed. And we see yet all in all of this, verse 24, Acts 12, but the word of God grew and multiplied. In the midst of all this hardship, in the midst of all these trials and trouble and tribulation and heartache, God continued to bless his people. Now, just looking upon this as a casual viewer from a distance, we would say, well, these people are, man, they're just really being persecuted. No, they were being blessed by the Lord. That's what I want you to see. The first point is this: the good, wise, and sovereign purpose and providence of God. That's what we see in this chapter. The good, wise, sovereign providence of God. That's what we see, the Lord doing all things according to the working of his mighty power. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. I got this from Brother Fortner's bulletin over the weekend. We believe, according to the scriptures, that the Lord our God is a God of purpose, absolute, unalterable purpose. Before the world began, Almighty God sovereignly purposed all that ever comes to pass in time. Nothing in this world is left to chance. Everything is moving toward the predetermined end of God's eternal purpose with absolute, precise accuracy. That's so. I believe that's so. I believe the Word of God teaches that. All things are working according to God's determined end and purpose. The Lord of heaven and earth is ruling and reigning and controlling all things by his infinite wisdom and sovereign power. I jotted this down from Isaiah 14, and I hope to bring a message from Isaiah 14 on Wednesday evening. But here's what Isaiah 14 says. The Lord, this is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. This is the hand that is established and stretched forth upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched forth, who can turn it back? He said, I purposed it, I will do it. What God has purposed in eternity, he brings to pass in time. That's what the providence of God is. These things that unfold in time are only things that God had purposed from eternity. He works all things after the counsel of his own will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay his hand or saying to him, God Almighty, what doest thou? God is God over all, blessed forever. He's subject to none, influenced by none. He's absolutely independent, does as he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases. He depends upon no one. He is the eternal God who does all things wise, well, and on time. The sovereign purpose of God brought these trials and blessings upon the Lord's people in that day. And what was true in that day is true in our day right now. God is working all things in our lives according to his purpose. Now, I don't even understand all the things that have happened in my life. Almost 68 years old now. I don't understand some of the things, most of the things that the Lord has brought to pass in my life, but I know it's all by his sovereign purpose. Being a believer, though, does not exempt us from trials, heartache, and sorrow in this life. You read through the book of Acts, these people were hated, hunted, and persecuted because of the gospel. They suffered sickness, heartache, and trial. Being a believer does not exempt you from heartache and trial. Our Lord said this in Job 14, man that's born of woman, few days, and full of trouble. Haven't you found that to be so? We have seen that over and over again in our study in the book of Acts. But here is our comfort. Our Lord said this before he left those apostles going to Calvary's tree to put away our sin. He said, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have what? Tribulation. I know it to be so. I've experienced it. But be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome. I have overcome. Man that is born of a woman, just a few days. Trouble when we get here. Someone said we come forth from the womb and they spank us on the rear end. And when we die, they throw us in a hole and put dirt on our face. And everything in between is just trouble. That's about our life, isn't it? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will sustain us and encourage us in a day of heartache and sorrow. In His Word, we find great comfort. In the day of trouble, we find comfort in Him. Psalm 46. When we were flooded 10 years ago, it's been 10 years now, and when I was trapped in the house over here on the second floor with the water raising at a rapid rate, clear up to the second floor, I didn't know if I was going to survive. I really didn't. And here's the verse that flooded my mind. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Everything worked out okay. And then during that time, I got a lot of letters from different people, and someone sent me a letter with this psalm, Psalm 55, verse 22. I've got this same little scrap of paper posted on my computer in there on my screen. And it says in that psalm, cast thy burden upon the Lord, He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your care upon Him. Peter writes that in his epistle. Cast your care upon Him. He careth for you. The Lord sends us precious trials by His wisdom to teach us and mold us and to conform us to His will. Remember what we read? Don't turn there. Let me just read it to you. 1 Peter, when he writes about trial, heartache, and sorrow, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, if need be, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sends these precious trials. They're called precious trials. The Lord sends these trials our way because that's what we need. The Lord will give us also grace for the trial in the way that He sees fit. He's promised us grace. He said, my grace, when Paul prayed for that thorn in the flesh to be removed, three times he asked the Lord, three times, Lord, take this thorn away. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul rejoiced in the grace of God in the midst of trouble and heartache. The Lord has promised to never leave us nor forsake us in the time of trial or at any time. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. He said, I'll never, no, never, no, never will I leave you nor forsake you. These trials the Lord sends in our life are precious trials because they always accomplish the purpose of God in our lives. My dear friend Scott Richardson used to say, we're either in a trial or coming out of a trial or getting ready to go into one. Isn't that what we experience in the reality of life? Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. So that's the first lesson. The good and sovereign providence of God. These folks had trouble and heartache, but they also had peace in Christ. The second thing is this. What did these believers do when they were persecuted and hated and suffering heartache and sorrow? Look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, when he was kept in prison, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Again in verse 12, the last part of verse 12, where many were gathered together. What were they doing? Complaining against God. God, this ain't right. This ain't fair. I don't deserve this. Boy, I hope we don't think that way. They were praying, asking God for mercy. Mercy. They cried unto the Lord. Sometime mark this down, Psalm 107. It talks about repeatedly heartache and trial and heartache and trial, Psalm 107. And then it says at least four times, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of his distresses. And then it says, oh, that we would praise the Lord for the goodness of his grace toward the children of men. God sends us trouble that we might call upon the Lord. Someone said, trials give new life to prayer. That's pretty good, isn't it? Trials give new life to prayer. I found this to be true in the 26 years that I've tried to preach the gospel here. We've been through many trials, and the Lord has sustained us. We've been through some trials, and we'll be going through some more trials. If we didn't have trials, you know what? We'd be lifted up with religious pride. And we look around other people and say, well, you know, if you were, and you were, the Lord sends us trials to strip us. The Lord often strips us and puts us in the dust to show us how frail we are, that we might learn to lean upon the Lord and to call upon him. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. That ought to encourage us to pray unto the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Prayer is the very life breath of a believer. Someone said prayer is asking the Lord to reveal his will unto us and then asking for grace to do his will. We do not pray to change his will. I remember some years ago when we lived in Asheville, Kentucky, and there's a big steel mill there. At that time it was called Armco Steel. And they were talking about shutting the steel mill down. This was in the early 80s. Now that place is completely closed down. But a bunch of those religious people got on this campaign that we're going to get together and we're going to gang up on God and we're going to change his mind. Forget it. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Prayer has something to do about finding out what the will of the Lord is and then asking for grace to bow unto it. Our Lord said this. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember what our Lord, as he submitted unto death, submitted unto the will of the Lord, he said, Lord, he prayed not my will, thy will be done. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Amen. Amen. Now here's the third thing. The power of God to deliver. The purpose, the providence of God, the privilege of praying unto the Lord. And then the third thing we see is the power of God to deliver and bless in the time of trial. Peter was delivered by the angel of the Lord. Delivered by the angel of the Lord, as it says in verse 7. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised up quickly, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off, That angel said, "You follow me," and they went right out of that prison. The doors opened up and they walked right through. The chains fell off. How do you account for such deliverance? The power of Almighty God delivered him. Peter was not in there walking the floor, jumping up and down, complaining to the prisoners, trying to shake off his chains. He was in there sleeping, waiting upon the Lord to deliver him. It wasn't Peter's will that delivered him, was it? It was the Lord that delivered him. Peter knew what was going to happen the next day. He was scheduled to be executed like his friend James. But something strange is going on in that jail cell. Peter's asleep, resting in the sovereign purpose of God. What's he doing? Resting in the promise of God. He knew all things working together for his eternal good. He knew if his life was spared, he would go on serving the Lord. But if he knew that the Lord was pleased to take his life, that would even be better. And one day, not many years after that, Peter was killed for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter believed God and gave him rest in his heart and in his soul, being persuaded that all that God has promised, he's able to perform. The Lord our God, and here's the point, the Lord our God is able to deliver us from the prison house of sin. There's a picture of Peter in prison, surrounded by those guards, chained to the floor, or chained to the wall. No way he's getting out of there in the energy and strength of the flesh. His condition, naturally, is our condition spiritually. Dead in sin, no way to deliver ourselves. And God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver us. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. The Lord Jesus Christ came to set the prisoner free, to set at liberty those who were held captive. And that's what the Lord has done. Whom the Lord set free, they are free indeed. And that is a picture of our deliverance by the power of God. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Now, something else we can learn right here on this point about the sovereignty of God in salvation. The same angel that delivered Peter is the same angel that killed Herod. Did you notice over there in verse 21? "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made a great oration. And the people gave a shout, saying, It's the voice of God and not of a man. And the angel of the Lord smote him." Because he gave not God the glory. What did Peter say about his deliverance? Look at verse 17. Acts 12, verse 17. "But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold your peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison." That's our testimony. He didn't even say, "Well, you know, the angel of the Lord." He said, "No, the Lord delivered me from the prison." And that's our testimony. But here's the point I would make. Those soldiers were killed. Herod was killed. And Peter set free. The Lord will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. He is absolutely sovereign in all things. He'll harden those whom he'll harden. And he'll have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Every believer that's saved by the grace of God has this same testimony that Peter had. It's the Lord who has delivered me. Salvation is of the Lord. All of his doing. He chose me, redeemed me, called me, quickened me, saved me by his grace. Everything he did. Well, preacher, wait a minute. Don't we have to do something for salvation? Our faith and our repentance does not bring salvation. Salvation brings faith and repentance. salvation's of the Lord. Our faith is not the cause of salvation. Our repentance is not the cause of salvation. Our baptism is not the cause of salvation. Christ is the reason of our salvation. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again to justify us. We have deliverance from the wrath to come by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He freely justifies us by His grace through the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pity the sinner who's looking to his faith, looking to his repentance, looking to his experience, looking to his baptism. That's a terrible place to find salvation. In what you have done? In your obedience? Peter didn't say, well, you know, I figured out how to get out of that jail. Those guys weren't so smart after all. I figured a way out. No, he said, the Lord delivered me. That's our testimony. It's the Lord. It's the Lord who has delivered us. Now, here's the last thing. Verse 24 and 25, but the word of God grew and multiplied. You would think, naturally, that the spread of the gospel would be diminished and the influence of the gospel would be lessened. But the more men tried to smash it down, the more it blossomed, the more it grew. It says in Acts chapter 8, remember when they were persecuted at the time of Stephen's death and Saul was breathing out, threatening and slaughter, making havoc of the church? They went everywhere. They're scattered abroad doing what? Preaching, preaching, preaching the word of the Lord. The word of our God grew and multiplied. They were persecuted, but they went everywhere preaching the Lord. Our Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot stop it. Never fear, the purpose of God will always work to His glory, to the eternal good of His people, and to the everlasting destruction of His enemies. Thank you. She gets my water for me every week. Thank you. Everlasting destruction to the Lord's enemies. Listen to this promise. The Lord said unto my Lord, Psalm 110, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Let me read this to you over here in Isaiah 41. If you want to write this down, let me just read it to you. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Again in Isaiah 43, verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. God's going to take care of us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now let me read this to you in closing. And I jotted this down, copied it. I love that copy and paste. Copy and paste. Just pasted it right in here. We sang a moment ago that song, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. That's a good song. We've been singing it for 40 years. Never tire of it. William Cowper also wrote this hymn in 1773. And it was written at a time in his life when he was so depressed and blue, so downhearted that he went out that night to try to commit suicide. And if I remember the story right, he summoned a carriage, or we would say a taxi cab, to take him down to the riverside where he might jump in and take his life. God sent a thick cloud bank, and the driver of the carriage said, "We're not going anywhere. You go back in your house." And he sat down and he wrote these words: "God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in abominable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright design and works his sovereign will. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides his smiling face. His purpose will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain in due time. He will."